HIV risk perceptions among African American college women. And we chose to look at this particular population because of some of the statistics that Dr. Sutton presented, looking at the HIV trends among African Americans, women, as well as the younger population. So these statistics show. So these statistics show that this population could benefit from targeted prevention messages because the trends actually show that they're a population that could potentially be at higher risk for HIV infection. So looking at racial dynamics, as she mentioned, as most of us know, while African Americans are 13% of the U.S. population, we actually make up about half of the new infections of HIV in the country. And among women, African American women are over half of the women living with HIV in the U.S. as well. Thinking about youth, as Dr. Sutton presented, nearly half of new infections occur among people under the age of 25. In particular, if you're looking at the age group 13 to 25, you'll see that African American youth comprise about half, a little over half, of these cases. And also 38% of that same age group are female. If you're looking at cases among HIV infection for women in general, 15% of those women are in the age group of 13 to 24. Looking at college students in particular, assessment of risk behaviors was done, and it found that even though these students engage in high-risk sexual behaviors, they have a low perceived risk of HIV infection. And speaking to the study that Dr. Sutton was talking about of the outbreak of HIV on North Carolina college campuses, that actually came from researchers at UNC Chapel Hill. And in 2002, there were two identified cases among college males. And by 2003, there were 56 new cases. And 88% of those were African American males, and most of them were men who have sex with men. But some of them were also men who have sex with both men and women. And this prompted those researchers to think that there is a concern for the risk of African-American college women because prior studies had looked at African-American and their sexual partnering, and it found that they typically have same-race relationships which would combine STIs within their own sexual networks and communities. So these researchers said that there is a need for a deeper look into the behaviors of African-American college women that may put them at risk for HIV infection as well as other STIs, and that we need targeted prevention programs for this population. So we found also that media could possibly be an influential factor. As you think of the different messages in media, sex sells everything from toothpaste to clothing, shoes, whatever it is that you think of, and there are very pervasive messages in the media that use sexual connotations. And there's a lack of research looking at the influence of media on African-American college women and the college population in general. Most of the studies focus on adolescents. You may be familiar with Jane Brown and her studies. And they found that the media has become a sort of sex educator for our adolescents with frequent glamorous images of sex, few consequences. And this can prompt early initiation of sexual behaviors. But we thought also that given such media outlets such as BET and MTV, who actually target the college-age population with their reality TV shows, music videos, and things like that, perhaps there's a gap where we need to fill and look at what this can say towards the influence that it has on college populations in particular. So few studies have explored this risk behavior for this particular population, although that the trends point towards the need for this effort. And we need more research on the social and behavior factors that can lead to these risk behaviors. And so we wanted to know, particularly in our study, which of those factors were the most influential, were there risk factors that had yet to be identified, and specifically, did these women perceive that media played a huge role in guiding their sexual behaviors? So we had 10 focus groups, and the focus groups were conducted at UNC Chapel Hill, which is a southern university. It's a public university, and it's predominantly white students. Each of the focus groups were about 90 minutes long. So we advertised using flyers all over campus, mass emails to all the female students at UNC, and emailing specific student organizations such as the Black Student Movement. To be eligible for our study, you had to be 18 or older, female, identify as African American, and be enrolled as a full-time student at UNC. Also, we screened the eligibility over telephone interviews prior to any of the focus groups. Okay. For all of the focus groups, of course, we obtained written consent. They were audio recorded as well as having written notes taken. And our interview guide was open-ended, and we were looking at things such as their perceptions of the HIV trends among women, among youth, among college students, safer sex among young adults, and then safer sex among college students, and social factors that they believe contribute to HIV and sexual risk behaviors. So we transcribed each of the focus groups, and the secondary data analysis was performed using Atlas TI. And we got our themes based on salient themes and code frequencies, recurring social norms and decision-making practices that were identified by the women in the group. And we also looked at our data to see if there was any difference between undergraduate students and their perceptions and graduate students. So each of our focus groups had 66. We had 66 women in total, and each had an average of about 7 women per focus group. And we had a good mix of students, but predominantly we had undergraduates. And the majority of the groups were, in fact, undergraduate. But we had one group that had all graduate students with one continuing education student. The average age was 22, and the age range was 18 to 32. So we had 3 recurring themes. So the first one was that women perceived that in the African American community, there are more conservative norms around sex and relationships than there are on the college campus. And so one of the perceptions was that there's more sexual freedom on campus. You get more education. Sex is not a taboo topic on campus as it may be in the African American home and in your family and in the community. So there's this idea that you can talk about it more and you can learn more things. And some of the women said that because they couldn't talk about it with their parents, a lot of their education came in their young adulthood when they got to campus and they found out about condom use and protecting themselves, or even the different types of sex that were going on out there. One of the women said, for some women, it's just, I'm going to do it, have sex, and keep it on the hush. You can't talk to your family, so you don't have any education. And in Caucasian households, this may be more open. So there was a perception that in white families, they actually talk about sex education more, or sex is more open. So you can share with, like, your mom, yeah, mom, I'm having sex, I need to be on birth control, or different things that they perceived did not go on in the black families. And then there was the idea of being safe on a college campus. Some of the women identified that they only hear about the risks that are on historically black campuses, which was pretty interesting for us to hear. So they thought that because they were on a white campus, that they were safer. One of the quotes, when I first heard about HIV infection rates on campuses, it was discouraging and scary. Now I feel like it doesn't really affect me. I heard that the cases were only at HBCU campuses, but not at UNC. Which was interesting because the particular study that we were talking about with the outbreak on college campuses, it really looked at the network and how all of the campuses, not just the HBCU campuses, all of the networks were interrelated as well as relation to people in the community. So these students were having sex with each other on the same campus, on different campus, and neighborhood people as well, so not just confined to one campus. They also felt that they were safe because they're surrounded by people of like mind. I'm educated, he's educated, we're both goal-oriented, I know him because, you know, he goes to my school, versus saying, oh, I would, you know, engage in a relationship or sex with, like, a guy if I was living in an apartment down the hall from me. I wouldn't do that. I would be more, you know, skeptical of him. So there's a level of immediate trust on campus. We all have similar goals. Living in an apartment complex, you're not going to get as close to some guy as, like, one of your neighbors. Then there's this idea of having new relationship ideologies once you get to a college campus. There are a few monogamous relationships, unlike the conservative norm in the African American community where, you know, you're with the same man or the same woman for a lifetime, lifetime partnerships, just a more conservative view of sex and relationships. Then the gender ratio imbalance among African American students. There are far more African American women in college than there are men. So then there becomes this thing about how they form their partner relationships. And one woman said, you know, you'll do anything to get a man, keep a man, and maybe even take a man from someone else. So there's an idea of, you know, I want a man. Is it okay? Yeah, probably. It's okay with me if I'm one of the five women that he's with, as long as I'm his number one. Or maybe I don't care if I'm his number one or not. So when there's not a lot to choose from, when there's not enough black men, and there's a whole lot of black women that want a black man, then you're going to share men. That's just the way it's going to be. Women perceive that the media sets a norm around sex to which African Americans aspire. So African American women being hypersexualized in the media, one woman said, women in rap videos are just seen as something to have sex with. And also the idea that the men, knowing that they're at high demand on campuses, then begin to think of these women like, I can get anyone I want. She wants me. You know, I can take my time and do whatever. And sex being shown as glamorous and romantic with few consequences. So this particular young lady was thinking about a show like Sex in the City, where they're sleeping around with different men, but you never hear anything about condoms or commitment. Then sex being pervasive on TV and easily shared on the internet, it becomes voyeuristic and interactive nowadays. And then the negative messages that outnumber the positive campaigns in the popular media outlets. So you have the Wrap It Up campaign on BET or the Think campaigns on MTV. On BET, you get people in the video. You got three strings covering up everything. Then you go to the commercial segment and they say, wrap it up. So finally, our last thing was that women perceive that the stigma around homosexuality in the black community can cause African American men who have sex with men or have sex with both men and women to put the women at risk because they're uncomfortable with their sexuality. They don't want to admit that they're gay, or they want to hide the fact. So they have multiple female partners to appear to be manly or a player. They hide their relationships with men or don't disclose their orientation. Or some women believe that they don't practice safer sex to avoid admitting their homosexuality. So if they, African American men, carry condoms and put condoms on and have sex with a man, then they're admitting that they're gay. But in their mind, if they don't use condoms, they're not gay. Finally, there's this idea that they represent an uncomfortable and unfamiliar situation for African American college women. Like, how do I address this? How do I engage in conversation? How do I ask him if he's sleeping with other women? Am I willing to accept that? Am I okay with that? There's a whole other ballgame in thinking about this man could possibly like sleeping with other men. What do I do with that? I think that on the surface, we have accepted homosexuality, but not really in truth. It's like it's okay for white people to be gay, but don't bring that here into the black community. I think it has a lot to do with the black family in general. The black community feels threatened by homosexuality because it threatens the black family, the stability of the black family. So implications for future research. Expanding this study to multiple campuses. So not just a predominantly black college or predominantly white, but looking at colleges that include all ethnicities, so that we have a better range of looking at how it impacts students racially. But then also private colleges, public universities as well. Study of how the media influences this population in both identifying what's negative and addressing that, but building on the reach of the media and how strong it is in their influencing messages for these young adults. And to explore the impact of the social issues changing the family structure and the relationship between the African man and woman. So in conclusion, based on the trends in HIV infection, we think that African American college women are a prime population to target because they're in the line of fire, so to speak, when you look at where the trends point. And then also as public health researchers, we know that social, cultural, environmental factors have a huge impact on behaviors. And so we're saying that we need to know more about how African American college women perceive these factors and how it can influence their sexual decision making.